Craig and I thought our signs out here and the fact that we were broadcasting, people would come by and they'd honk their horn. You know how some people do when there's a TV broadcast or something. They honk their horn because they want to be heard. And then Craig realized you have a sign out there that says, honk if you love coffee. So I guess coffee trumps a morning show every time.
Well, maybe it was for us anyway. What do you think? We can believe it.
Oh, sure. Whatever you want to believe.
Okay.
It could be as well. But thanks for having us again.
Welcome.
This year.
Love to have you here.
So what's new here at the Arabica?
Well, we've expanded the menu a little bit with some specials and changed a few things around on the menu, added some specialty coffees, and in general just made a little bit of change here and there to make it better for our customers.
Just give them something to think, oh, I didn't know they had this,
or exactly.
That type of a thing. And that's, I guess, in any kind of a food service business, you always, you don't want to, no pun intended, become stale, right?
Well, a lot of people don't realize that we have food.
Well, you have bistro.
Bistro's in our name, but so is Arabica Coffee, and right. I think people hear that and think it's only a coffee shop, but we have very good coffee and very good food.
Now, when you took over, were they selling, was it food or was it a coffee? Or
It was both when I took over about almost 3 years ago. Okay. September will be 3 years, and my original cook is still with us. She's trained at the Pittsburgh Culinary Institute, part of Pittsburgh Art Institute, and she passes on all of her skills and information to our other cooks, so we're pretty consistent with our food, and it's presented nicely, and it's always a good value.
So what is new? You said you've kind of added something. What's something that you've
recently we added? Have right now on our special board, we have spinach berry salad. It's a big plate full of spinach. It's got pistachio nuts. It's got blue cheese. It's got blackberries and blueberries and strawberries. And we serve it with a poppy seed dressing. We rotate that about once a week or so. Maybe every 2 weeks we'll have a special and leave it on. Can't remember right now what some of our other specials are because
we change them. I'm all in on that spinach salad as well.
That's been very popular.
Right. You try to get something that's sort of seasonal in a sense.
Yes.
Right?
We had a citrus salad earlier in the summer with several different types of citrus plus a spring mix of greens.
Right.
I think we had walnuts on that particular salad.
Now it comes to the beverage. When it comes to beverages for a salad, I don't know how many people drink coffee and eat a salad at this same time, but I see you have different types of lemonade here too.
We
right?
have lemonade, and we we can add a squirt of flavor to it. Our lemonade is almost always on hand unless we happen to run out, but we try not to do that. But on a real hot day, sometimes you don't have a choice. You have only so much room, so you fill as much of the refrigerator with lemonade as you can, and if it goes, we try to get out and get more. But we can generally have something nice and cold to drink. We've got a soda cooler. We've got another grab-and-go cooler with Gatorade and tomato juice and pineapple juice and other sorts of juices. Our cold coffee is extremely popular now. We call it iced coffee, but in reality, it's iced espresso. We cold brew that for about 24 hours before we put it in jugs and serve it.
So what is a cold brew process? What is that exactly?
We have a filter and a net, and we put a pound of espresso, ground espresso, in the filter and net. Then we pour a gallon of water on top of each pound of espresso, and then we set it in the back room for 24 hours, and the coffee or the espresso leaches out of the beans and into our water, and then we bottle it up and keep it in the fridge. And if somebody orders an iced coffee, they're actually getting iced espresso.
That has more of density to it.
Oh, yeah.
And the flavors really comes through.
It's not typical of what you get if you order an iced coffee.
So you don't lose a lot when the ice starts to melt with
Correct.
What they put in there, too. Okay, mm-hmm. That's good.
Jerry, talk a little bit about this building. As Bruce mentioned, we're almost outside on the sidewalk here. You've got, like, big garage bay doors open mm-hmm. for us here this morning. Tell us a little bit about the history of this building and what it was.
Well, the building started as a automobile dealership. It was a Ford dealership way back when. And after that, it became an auto repair shop. Then it sat vacant for a while and was used just for storage by the city. And about 4 years ago, maybe even five, Life Care Ambulance needed a hub here in Amherst. We're right across from the emergency room at University Hospital. And Life Care came in and saw the building and said, you know what? It's a good building. It's too big for our hub. So what they ended up doing was they put a facade on to make it look like a fire station. It never was a fire station, but if people are walking by or try to describe the right. restaurant and they don't really know the history, they say, oh, it's the old fire station on Park Avenue.
It's never a faux was. Fire station is what it is.
Yeah, it's a, it looks just like a fire station, but Life Care Ambulance has two of the garage doors and two of the bays, and the other two garage doors are on my side of the building. And we just open them up like we have today on nice days. And we're outside, but we're inside. And we can take advantage of all the nice weather without the threat of rain. We're sheltered from the sun. We're sheltered from the rain. But we're... Right now, I'm within...
And you have a good north-facing window, so the sun's always to your back. In
exactly.
a sense. You never get that one sun that's
exactly.
sort of shining right into the...
The only time we get it is very early in the morning in the summertime when the sun is a little bit north of east and it sets a little bit north of west. So at sunset, we'll get a little bit of sun coming in at an angle, very steep angle, and same in the morning like it is right now. We have a little bit of sun on my fresh basil plant over in the corner. Works out well.
Yeah. You know, Bruce, also, you were talking before about perceptions about coffee here, mm-hmm. but you have much more than coffee. Also, too, sometimes people might think, well, coffee, morning, here we go, you know, and then, mm-hmm. you know, how much later in the day are you open? But you are open later in the day.
Correct.
Even to the point where you have evening entertainment.
Right. On Fridays and Saturdays, we have live entertainment. Generally, it's music. About once a month, though, on either a Friday or a Saturday, we have a group of poets that come in, and they actually do a poet workshop. They'll teach other people to write poems or poetry, and then they have those same people that they just taught go up on stage after the so-called, I don't want to call them professionals because they're amateurs, but poetry is their thing. They'll go up on the little stage and they'll do their poetry, and then they'll have the people that they just taught to come up and do their poetry. And it's been quite successful. But that happens about once a month. Most of the time, though, it's music. Quite a variety. This Friday we have a fellow coming in named Great Grandpa Beebe, and he does, and he's not a great grandpa, he's only 27 years old or something like that.
Is he a Beebe, though?
He is a Beebe.
Okay. That's important, you never know.
Yes, he's a Beebe, but not a grandpa.
Uh-huh.
But he does an interesting assortment of music. He does banjo, he does guitar, he does a little bit on the piano. And it's all quite entertaining. Then on Saturday, we have a group called Twosome, a duo called the B-Sides, and they do nothing but 1960s music. And that suits our clientele very well, because we tend to get, our music only goes from 5:30 to 7:30. So we're aiming at the people who don't want to go to a place where music starts at 9 o'clock. They don't want to go to a place where they can't hear the music, or where they can't talk to their friends at the table, because in some places it's too loud. If you come to our music, it's generally pretty quiet. People can still talk to their neighbors at the table and so forth, and yet the music is loud enough that they can enjoy it. So we fill a little niche there from 5:30 to 7:30. You'll find a lot of people just don't want to start listening to music at 9 o'clock, when traditionally live music starts in other venues.
Have you tried your hand at the poetry? Have you written any and gotten up on stage?
I know a few limericks, but they're not for the public.
That's good. You should come up with a coffee poem, I think. That would work well.
I should.
Espresso yourself.
That's a good one. We actually had a girl, Olivia Sliman, who is part of the Sliman Dodge group. She's sung here a number of times. A few times with her sister, and she actually wrote a song about Arabica. So that was kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
We had another fella here who wrote a love song to one of the baristas, embarrassed the daylights out of her when he stood up on the stage and professed his love for her and so forth. But it was a good time. We've had the Starship Truckers here a number of times. They go way back to the 60s when they were college roommates, maybe the 70s. But it's an interesting variety of music, some of which they've written themselves. They have a song that was inspired by a Amish Chinese restaurant in Wellington, and so they wrote a song about Hunan Yoder. It's really interesting, and it's a funny song. You can catch it on YouTube if you look up Hunan Yoder.
Is it based on fact?
Yes, it is. There's a restaurant in Wellington where the man that owns it is Amish, and his partner is Oriental, I believe, Chinese. And so it's an Amish Chinese restaurant. He wrote the song about it, and it has lines in it like, well, you can get brown rice, white rice, or extra wide egg noodles. You can get apple pie with a fortune inside, and just, very inventive. So it's a lot of fun.
I know where our morning show is going next year in Wellington.
I'll start working on using chopsticks, Craig. That'll be good for that. By the way, I was looking up Grandpa Beebe.
Yeah.
He's friends with Emily Keener, by the way, because he's out of
I'm not surprised.
The Norwalk area there as well. So he looks like a very interesting fellow.
He is.
There's a little Leon Redbone-esque to him as far as his...
And he's only in his late 20s, you say?
I believe he's in his late 20s.
Okay.
Right. He'll grow into his name eventually like that. It's a good name. It implies a long career, I suppose, for a name like that. Well, we appreciate you having us here, Jerry. It's always kind of fun to come out to an atmosphere like this. And the decor, very inspiring, sort of very eclectic, very interesting things. And even while I'm sipping on an espresso, I can kind of just sort of dream and look at all the different things that are here.
One last thing, Jerry. Speaking of that, our engineer Terry here has his sight set on your sofa over here. Can you give us any history on that? Because it is rather different.
Ornate, for sure.
It's ornate. We have two actual ornate sofas, one up on the stage and one over in the corner. And I believe the person who decorated this building is a professional decorator. He did the walls with all the old antique wood. He did the paint selections. He did most of the pictures on the wall, the record albums that are up there from the Beatles and some of the other groups. I believe he got the sofas at estate sales and brought them here. The piano in the corner is, I believe, about 110 years old or so, still in tune. We have some of our entertainers come in and play the piano. We have some people just wander in and play the piano. So it's nice to have it back there, as old as it is.
Bruce, I know you play the banjo. How about the piano?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. I'm pretty sure. I can find middle C and then perhaps that. I just want to know when the guy's coming back to finish your walls. He didn't look like he finished decorating them. There's a lot of slats open that he's probably finished the rest of this here.
That's how it's supposed to look. Ah. He's he decorates Arabicas all over the world. Qatar, Dubai, India.
Now, do they
Turkey.
Call them Arabica there or Arabica? Because the bean itself is Arabica,
the
right?
The bean is Arabica. I think Arabica may be unique to Ohio.
That's what I kind of heard that in some circles as well.
For some reason, the Ohio folks tend to call it, including the owner of the overall Arabica name. We use the name Arabica so that we can use the coffee blends that are developed specifically for Arabica. We use the drink recipes in a number of cases that are specifically developed by Arabica for some of our lattes and other specialty.
Now, is there some point where you get a giant bean delivery? Or what? Is that?
Yeah, every Wednesday we get a pretty large delivery from our roaster. Our coffee, when they roast it, they seal it up in Mylar bags, and they withdraw the air and put in nitrogen so that our coffee is shipped to us within 24 hours of roasting, and we use it right away. We go through a ton of coffee, but it technically has a shelf life of over a year. If we really wanted to keep coffee for a year, because there's no oxygen in the packaging material, the Mylar keeps the air and the oxygen out, and the nitrogen is pumped in. So our beans are in nitrogen, which means they don't oxidize, and they're fresh right up until the moment we open them to brew. So we stick them in.
Who gets to open them? That would be the best job ever, just to open that bag that has been sealed.
The baristas open them 20, 30, 40 times a day. We order our coffee, for the most part, in 3-ounce packages. So we get a big box of 3-ounce packages, and our 3-ounce package makes one air pot full of coffee. And then we put our air pots out for people to go ahead and pour their own coffee. But the 3 ounces of fresh beans are used throughout the day. So the coffee is extremely fresh. Probably one reason why we were selected as best coffee in Lorain County. That was in 2016. Just last week we were at the 2017 competition, and we don't know yet who won that. But
from Pulse Magazine, the best
Pulse
of Lorain
Magazine
County,
one.
Right.
They'll
find out in the fall issue of
in
Pulse
the fall
Magazine.
Issue, which comes out, I believe, around September. We'll know maybe a little bit ahead of that. Hopefully, in August, right. We'll know.
Well, but they can't take your 2016 honors.
Exactly, our 2016 is ours, and I'm pretty confident about 2017. You never know what's going to happen because people go out to the event and they vote, and it's all on a Scantron sheet, just like when I taught school, you did your test and you ran it through the Scantron, so it's all graded by machine. We'll see what the results are. Well, and even if we aren't the winner, we're still in the top three.
It's an honor to be nominated, right?
Absolutely. And to be a finalist.
Absolutely.
So we're very happy about that.
It's great here. And I didn't even bother to ask you to identify the pyramid of flavors that are there. There were at least, 30 of them, it seems, in those extra flavors that you add to the coffee. I can't even think past five. I can't even come up beyond that.
Today we have one of the favorites of a lot of the customers. It's called Ole Mole. And it's a blend developed by our roaster. It's got a little tiny bit of chocolate or mocha. It's got a little tiny bit of cinnamon. And the one that I usually don't tell them until after they've tasted it, it's got a little bit of red pepper. And if somebody asks me what Ole Mole is, I give them a sample and say, taste it before I tell you what's in it. Because if you say red pepper, they all kind of say, oh. But once they taste it, it becomes a favorite.
Right.
I probably have more people whose favorite coffee now is Ole Mole than anything.
You just like to let them come in here and have to say that in order to order something, right?
Yes. And then I have a few people that come in and look forward to April Fool's Day when I put out a pot of water, hot water, with a little name on it. Last year I wrote it in Norwegian, and it just said hot water. But they come in and they'll pour a little bit and look at it and taste it
and come up with their own idea. What do you think's in it? Now they have probably this whole idea.
And they finally say, gee, it tastes just like water. I said, well, that's what the sign says. You know, it says hot water right there in Norwegian.
Norwegian, yeah, good. All right.
Then I had one spoil sport actually came in, and I don't know how, but he knows how to read Norwegian. So he walks over there. He says, why do you have a pot of hot water out here? I was beat.
Well, there you go. You never know who might be coming through your doors. But it's always fun to have people come in, and they sit a while. They get to enjoy the atmosphere of the company as well. And we're doing that this morning, enjoying our time here at the Arabica Park Avenue in Amherst. Jerry Pertz, the owner, thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
A bit of the stories. It's always fun to hear what the business is like. And we've got more coming up.